the U.S. is planning to take its military involvement in Iraq in a different direction. President Biden announced this week an end to America's combat mission by the end of the year. There are about 2,500 U.S. troops there, and it looks like they're going to stay. Biden says they'll transition to an advisory and training role. Here he is with Iraq's prime minister at the White House on Monday.
You know, we support strengthening Iraq's democracy, and we're anxious to make sure the election goes forward in October. And we're also committed to our security cooperation. Our shared fight against ISIS is critical for the stability of the region, and our counterterrorism cooperation will continue, even as we shift to this new phase we're going to be talking about.
The announcement comes as the U.S. pulls all of its troops out of Afghanistan this summer. Meanwhile, the Taliban has reportedly taken over parts of that country, including some key border control points. There have been reports of attacks on civilians and civilian deaths. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think about the U.S. changing role in the Middle East? Do you support ending combat operations in Iraq? Are you worried that it's happening too soon? Or do you want to see all the troops come home from Iraq sooner than later? What about the complete withdrawal from Afghanistan if you served in either or both countries? What's your reaction to what's going on? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 with your comments or questions, or email ideas@WPR.org. Ali Aboudalebi is a professor of political science at UW-Eau Claire. He's an expert on Middle East politics and U.S. Middle East policy. Ali, welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you very much.
Let's start in Iraq. I've seen some people suggest, Ali, that saying we're ending our combat operations there, really not much has been changing. This has been kind of an ongoing process. Is this announcement a big deal?
Well, you know, the opposition would say withdrawal in such fashion send the wrong signal to the whether through the Daesh troops or terrorists or other radical groups, and may send the wrong signal to some Iraqi leadership. But in reality, again, the United States has been there for 18 years. And the question is, what have we accomplished being there for 18 years? And we can talk about that. But again, we paid a lot of money and we lost soldiers there. And there is no way out. I mean, United States presence there cannot really solve what is an Iraqi internal problems.
And looking at Iraq now, the current situation there, obviously, maybe a contrast with Afghanistan. Is Iraq, at least relative to a place like Afghanistan, relatively stable?
I'm sorry, I was answering my phone. I missed the question again. I shut that off. But the question is about Afghanistan and the United States. Again, we've been there since 2001. And trillions of dollars spent and people, soldiers lost. The question is, what is it we want from Afghanistan? And how is Afghanistan's situation is connected to U.S. Security? Recall, we went there to fundamentally to destroy Al-Qaeda, which we did very quickly. And then we got involved with nation state building and staying there. And that perhaps was a wrong move to do so. And, you know, years later, then we're still asking the same question. So I was one of the advocates that the United States should not have invaded Afghanistan after 9/11. We could have resolved the issue through different methods. But even if we did, we should have withdrawn very long time ago, as opposed to getting bogged down in nation state building, which is not the job of the United States. That is, you know, you cannot fix all the problems around the world. And that kind of discussion applies even today in the case of Iraq and Afghanistan. You know, these are countries who have important neighbors, and they have to tackle with their own problems within their regional politics and context. I do understand the United States have a global interest in events elsewhere, but there are close to 200 countries in the world. We cannot solve all the problems. And this kind of the U.S. withdrawal from both Afghanistan as well as Iraq, reduction in numbers of troops, but is not surprising at all. I mean, you know, we cannot be there indefinitely. So similar discussion that we could have about Iraq would apply to Afghanistan.
We're talking to Ali Aboudalebi, professor of political science at UW-Eau Claire, looking at the U.S. withdrawal from Afghanistan and a transition announced this week, an end to combat operations on the way in Iraq, but 2,500 or so U.S. troops will still stay there. You could call in with your questions about those events, your thoughts on them at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas at WPR.org. Getting back to Iraq for a bit, Ali, you mentioned Daesh, also known as ISIS here. When the U.S. had initially pulled out of Iraq under the Obama administration, we saw this rise of ISIS. They've been kind of going back and forth in the Iraqi-Syrian border. The Iraqi army that had been trained by the U.S. In many ways just dissolved and collapsed initially as ISIS expanded. Is the Iraqi army and the government behind it more prepared for something like that, to prevent something like that happening again, compared to the initial rise of ISIS?
I think the answer is yes and no. That is, obviously, Iraqi army is more prepared now. But let's kind of look at the issue at closer range. Since then, again, since 2011, Syria fell into this domestic war, and varying countries, including the U.S., began supporting different troops or different groups in Syria. So what's going on in Iraq and Syria and indirectly in Afghanistan and Yemen and even in Lebanon are somewhat interconnected. So when we talk about Iraq today, Iraq had a lot of problems, including political polarization between religious groups and within religious groups and the secular forces, Iraqi nationalists, and so on and so forth. So Iraq today may be in better position to withstand Daesh or ISIL forces, but even today or yesterday, there have been at least three or four attacks against U.S. troops in Iraq, different bombing targeting U.S. convoys. There are a lot of forces against the United States, particularly the Shia groups, perhaps connected to Iran, etc. They would like to for the U.S. to withdraw. But so Iranians have an influence there among the Shiites, but there are a lot of Iraqi Sunni nationalists who they despise Iranian interference in Iraq as well. The bottom line is this: whether it's Iraq, whether it's the United States or Iran, or in the case of Afghanistan, is Pakistan or other neighboring countries, it falls to the authorities of the countries in question to resolve their own internal problems. I think what the United States can do from far away is to use its soft power through United Nations Security Council, through financial assistance, through gathering momentum with the UN Security Council and convincing the neighbors to these countries to come in and to help try resolve this, as opposed to kind of leave it alone and just say goodbye, so to speak. That's the ideal solution to me, which, again, not a lot of people are talking about. So I don't want to look at the situation of Iraq as a black and white situation, whether U.S. should stay or should U.S. United States should totally withdraw. There are things that we can do behind the scene through our soft power, but I am against the United States' long-term presence, whether it's in Iraq or Afghanistan, because as history has proven, you cannot really resolve anything. In the end, it's up to the people and the governments in those countries to do so.
The tricky thing, well, among the many tricky things, is that, you know, there's concern about so-called failed states. If Iraq can't maintain its own security, a group like ISIS can form. If Afghanistan can't, a group like the Taliban can take power again. And then those groups represent, the concern is, threats to neighboring countries, maybe even to the United States. How do you balance that against the worry about, as you just mentioned, being trapped, having troops there forever?
Well, at a deeper level, when you think about Taliban or when you think about Daesh, you are not necessarily talking about organization or entities. You're also talking about kind of ideology or thinking. That is, people who support Daesh or believe in Taliban, they come from a very particular narrow perspective of life and government and politics and everything else. And that is the battle within Islam, the so-called the battle between the moderates and more traditional Orthodox which is a long discussion. I've addressed some of those in some of my writings. So what I'm saying in the long term, and even in the short and medium term, the resolution of questions of governance and the role of Islam in politics and promotion of moderation is the solution as opposed to anything else. So whether let's presume Taliban are in power tomorrow or the Daesh take over Iraq tomorrow, what are they going to do with it? The question, the United States, feeling insecure. These entities are not necessarily going to mobilize to attack the United States. They would promote through certain vision of Islam, which is very radical. So to counter them, we have to support the moderate groups in Iraq or in Afghanistan, etc. You have to support the civil society and again, moderate entities, whether in these countries or Egypt or Jordan or Lebanon, etc. And once that is settled, once the place of Islam in politics is settled, that would go a long way in bringing about more pragmatic governments in control who can be friendly to the United States. But at the very worst, they would not be hostile to the United States, but they can also be friendly. And the key, the other side of the equation to all this in terms of role of Islam in politics is the question of absence of democracy in the region. So anywhere from Afghanistan all the way to North Africa, we see authoritarian regime in power and a shining star of Arab political movement toward democracy, that is Tunisia, we've seen lately in the last few days, having a lot of problems. So absence of democracy and the question of governance and the place of Islam within state-society relations, these are the matters that we have to address. And one pragmatic way we can do that is to promote moderate forces in the region without directly getting involved.
Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. Jack is with us in Caledonia. Jack, hi.
Yeah, hi, thanks. Very interesting topic. Now, I have a few questions. One is, with the withdrawal of the U.S. troops, how long does the guests think that it'll take for the Taliban to take over, the major cities, to stop the schools that are going on, put the Islamic, the radical Islamic way or laws into effect, threaten families with with death or whatever it is,
And Jack, I'm going to jump in. I know you had a few questions. We've got a break coming up, so that's a big one right there. Ali, how long, he wonders, before the Taliban take over major cities and impose their own, as you mentioned, a radical form of Islamic society on them?
I think the prospect is that they would do so very rapidly. A lot of it has to do with Pakistan and what role Pakistan wants to play. Pakistan has facilitated the takeover of Taliban and empowering him since the very beginning back in 1986. But what is new now is the interest by Russia and China about what's going on there, as well as India. So Pakistan can be somewhat counterbalanced by Russia, China, and India, as well as Iran, to try to promote some kind of reconciliation between Taliban and other forces and maybe mellowing out the Taliban ideological framework. What I'm saying is this is rather wishful at this point. Absence of that happening, I see Taliban quickly taking over Afghanistan, God knows within how many months, simply because they have the military support and ideological support coming from from Pakistan.
We're talking about the U.S. military's involvement in the Middle East. President Biden announced this week that combat operations in Iraq will end this year. The 2,500 U.S. troops will take on advisory and training roles. That move comes as he orders all troops to withdraw from Afghanistan this summer. Ali Aboudalebi stays with us, professor of political science at UW-Eau Claire, where he's an expert on U.S. Middle East policy. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think of what you're seeing from the Biden administration in places like Iraq and Afghanistan? What you want to see next? What questions do you have? Call 800-642-1234. 1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Let's go back to your calls now. Stan is with us in Monona. Stan, hi.
Hi. Well, you know, when we look at the war in Iraq, of course, that was based on, you know, some lies about weapons of mass destruction. And when we look at Afghanistan, well, it's all based on 9/11. And there's an there's a gigantic amount of information to show that either we ignored it and we allowed it to happen, or that, you know, we were lied to. I mean, we had the documents come out 2 years ago saying Saudi Arabia had a hand in it. The fact that there was, you know, nanothermite found.
I'm going to stop you right there. Sounds like we're getting into 9/11 conspiracy theory territory, Stan. But looking back at the early things that led to U.S. involvement in Afghanistan versus Iraq, Ali, do you want to tackle that? The initial motivations, what do you think about them?
U.S. going into Iraq, you mean?
Yes.
Well, you know, the caller initial point is valid. Mm-hmm. That is, we know that we went there through false pretenses.
In Iraq, yes.
In Iraq, because we know as early as 2002, when the news leaked from England, actually, that the United States was kind of gearing for invasion of Iraq, and Tony Blair and the rest of the gang, and they were gearing for Iraq anyway. But nevertheless, here we are after 18 years, and we know all the pitfalls. I personally am against direct U.S. military engagement in resolving many of the issues that U.S. may have. We have a rather bleak history when you go back to post-World War II and all these military interventions. I do understand why it happened and a variety of discussion about military-industrial corporate interests and manufacture of arms and so on and so forth and the causes of war. I do understand all that. But in the end, if we argue that United States government should represent the national interest of the country, that means the interest of its people. I think there are other ways to conduct foreign policy which is more fruitful and as beneficial. For instance, even today, when we are kind of constantly trying to punish Iran or punish Syria or Venezuela or other countries through sanctions, you know, we are not necessarily doing any service to ourselves. I am of the opinion that you know, you can catch more bees with honey. Engagement, actually, you know, done correctly. I'm not just talking about embracing all countries, but engagement, you could actually help a lot. For instance, with the case of Iran, this withdrawal from the JCPOA or nuclear agreement was a mistake, because during the almost 2 years of agreement, Iranian economy began to grow. Iranian moderates were empowering themselves. And pretty soon, Iran would have been on its way, because the Iranian civil society is ready to embrace more secular and more pragmatic governments. And popular pressure on the government is increasing. Engagement in that sense can encourage the forces of moderation in many countries. But what we do is totally the reverse of it. And that is not helpful. So in that light, you know, I think, yeah, we went to Iraq on the wrong pretenses, and we haven't gained much. And even today, I am of the opinion that we should actually get engaged and encourage Afghanistan and Iraqi neighbors to get involved when it comes to Persian Gulf security, or whether it comes to the concerns of India and Pakistan in Afghanistan. And recall, Afghanistan also has a small, narrow border with China. And Afghanistan is also a landlocked state with a lot of minerals. So there are a lot of complicated issues. And if you want to get kind of withdraw or get isolated from the process, we are not going to gain anything. Because, as we know, Afghanistan's neighbors are going to be there forever. And so are the Iranians and the Iraqi neighbors, etc. So let me just stop there.
In our last minute or so, Ali, what are you watching for next, briefly, in these two countries?
In terms of Iraq, as I said, there are Iraqi religious group entities, pro-Iranians and some against Iranians, some Iraqi nationalists. And then we have the instability coming from Syria, and so on and so forth. Iraq has a lot of natural resources, including oil and natural gas. And Iraq can be a very prosperous country. And given its past history, Iraq can become a more secular environment politically. But that will not be resolved unless, I emphasize on that, unless we talk to the Iranians. Because the 60% of the Iraqis will be in Shiite. They have this religious historical context with Iran. And Iranian influence is there. It's as though, you know, when you talk about Ukraine, and you cannot ignore Russia when you talk about Ukraine and the Crimea. Similarly, when you talk about the region, you cannot simply ignore Iran in the region where there are wars and conflict, you know, including Iraq and Yemen and Syria and so on and so forth. So a lot of potential, but things are not going to change very quickly unless we can get engaged through moderation, through use of soft power, not military power, inducement, engagement, even UN Security Council, using international institutions. You know, why do we resist Iranian joining the WTO, World Trade Organization? We're blocking the application for years. I think it's the wrong move. Let them come to WTO. That would force them to open their economy and eventually open to the U.S. Companies. So, again, you can catch a lot more bees with honey.
Ali, we'll leave it there. Thanks for joining us again.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you.
Ali Aboudalebi is professor of political science at UW-Eau Claire. We talked about President Biden's announcement that U.S. combat operations in Iraq will end this year. We also checked in on Afghanistan as U.S. troops withdraw from the country completely this summer.